You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome, everybody, to tonight's live broadcast of the Political Cesspool radio program, Saturday evening, November 11th. James Edwards and Keith Alexander in studio. We take our beatings and we keep on ticking, do we not, ladies and gentlemen?
We take our beatings and keep on tweeting.
And tweeting, too, that's for sure. Well, it's been a little over a week since our defeat in the Michigan Court of Appeals. More on that later in the show tonight. We spent the first half of the show last week on this really precedent-setting case. We're going to spend the last half of tonight's show on it as well. And a very big surprise for you in the third hour. If you don't stay tuned all the way through the end of the show, I want you to be sure to listen to the third hour tonight. Eddie has the night off, and we're going to play, well, I don't want to spoil it. You got to listen to the third hour tonight. If you never listen to the third hour, listen to the third hour tonight. And we're going to get to that. But much more to get to before we even think about 2 hours from now. So basically what we're going to be doing tonight, we're going to continue to navigate the fallout from the recent decision handed down by the Michigan Court of Appeals. Also going to offer commentary on the horrific church shooting that took place this week in Sutherland Springs, Texas. That and much more. Roy Moore will be talking about that situation. A lot more to come. But so basically, here it is, and we'll turn it over to Jim Lancia, who is on the line with us. But a story reads, a gunman clad in all black with a ballistic vest strapped to his chest and a military-style rifle in his hands opened fire on parishioners at a Sunday church service. This was last Sunday at a small Southern Baptist church in rural Texas, killing at least 26 and turning this tiny town into the scene of the country's newest mass horror. The gunman was identified by the Texas Department of Public Safety as Devin Patrick Kelly, 26 years old. He died shortly after the attack. He had served in the Air Force at a base in New Mexico, but was court-martialed in 2012 on charges of assaulting his wife and child, sentenced to 12 months confinement, and received a bad conduct discharge in 2014, according to the Chief of Air Force Media Operations. The motive for the attack was unclear last Sunday, but the grisly nature of it could not have been more clear. Families gathered in pews, clutching Bibles and praying to the Lord, were murdered in cold blood on the spot. That is indeed vivid verbal imagery. And with that, we turn it over to former police officer Jim Lancia to give us a little more detail. Jim, just the facts. Tell us a little bit, again, in your own words, what happened in Texas and if any motive has been revealed. Go, Jim.
Okay, yeah, well, you basically gave the nuts and bolts of it. It's a sad state of affairs when we have so many shootings to talk about. There was another shooting at a Christian church not too long ago. Okay, as far as the motive goes, I've been looking into that. Number one, he was crazy. So psychological problems behind it. But there's a couple of factors here. You have a mix of a violent person, unstable. He was institutionalized, on medication, violent. Now, if you look at his Facebook page, supposedly he was a member of Antifa or affiliated with them in some way and spoke openly about violence and possibilities of violence he wanted to commit. So there's the Antifa thing there, who are listed basically as a domestic terror group. And then you also, I just recently found out that his mother-in-law attended the Sutherland Baptist Church, and he really, really hated her. So that could have been some form of a motive, but of course it could be a combination of unstable, his mother-in-law being there, her being a possible target, and, of course, just him being an atheist, anti-Christian, triggered by the left, the pervasive left and the rhetoric, the hateful rhetoric that they just get away with, not only on mainstream media, but everywhere else where I don't know how they're getting away with it. And what they're doing is they're triggering all these crazy people that are unstable to begin with. They're triggering them into doing horrific things. And you could tell on the left that there's a bit of glee in their faces when they know it's a Christian church consisting mainly of white Americans that were attending, and they don't hesitate to politicize it immediately with the gun control. It's sickening to the core to see that instead of really caring about the victims and the fallout of this horrific shooting, they go right for the gun control, which is the only thing on their minds as far as that goes.
Jim, thank you for that. You're exactly right. And I want to add a little more to this story just in terms of the facts. It says that the shooter started firing at the church not long after the Sunday morning service began at 11 a.m. He was armed with a Ruger military-style rifle. Within minutes, many of those inside the small church were either dead or wounded. The victims ranged in age from 5 to 72, and among the dead were several children, a pregnant woman, and the pastor's 14-year-old daughter, the deadliest mass shooting in Texas history. Very tragic to me. I mean, we see these things all the time, as you mentioned, Jim. I mean, you're almost numb to these terrorist attacks, these mass shootings in America. It is about a weekly occurrence now, certainly a monthly occurrence. But I went to a small Southern Baptist church like this my entire life. I have seen pictures from the inside of this church. I've seen their congregation. My church looked just about exactly like that, same in size, about 50 members, the pulpit up front with the baptistry pool in the back. So this hit home a little more to me personally than most. But as you mentioned, heroes did rise in this situation. It wasn't, of course, because of guns that those people were killed. It was because of guns that more were not killed. And two heroes came in, and perhaps you have a little bit more information about that, Jim.
Yeah, absolutely. This is actually, there were laws in place already to stop this guy. But, of course, you know, anybody hell-bent on trying to do damage is going to find a way to do damage. But the thing that flies in the face of the anti-Second Amendment people and the gun control people is the fact that two citizens armed with the same type of weapon, or at least one of them had an AR-15, was able to stop him from doing further damage. And the thing about that is, once someone started shooting at this nutbag, he basically dropped one of his weapons and took off, which shows that that's really the only way to stop this. Most of the time, the cops are not going to be there quick enough to stop you. Every American citizen needs to be able to defend themselves. In fact, in this day and age, I don't believe if anybody who's carrying and wants to carry and is willing to defend themselves and other people should carry a gun, whether it's the church or anywhere else, because there's nothing off limits to these people. And there's a famous painting of pilgrims back in the 1600s in Massachusetts walking to church with their rifle, because there was always that ever-present danger of being attacked by Indians. And they were going to church, and they brought their guns to church.
I'm glad you brought that up, Jim. We're about to go to our first break. We have you for one more segment, and then we're going to turn Keith loose on this. But I'm glad you brought that up. I was just about to say, if someone in that church had been had a gun on, they could have cut this short much sooner. And certainly, even though the killer used a gun to carry out his carnage, an extra gun law would not have stopped him from doing so. If you're hell-bent on killing people, you're not going to...
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today.
We fought, we learned, we struggled,
we won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, folks, we are spending two segments to cover the shooting at Sutherland Springs First Baptist Church in Texas, and then we're going to get down to our standard fare. I felt obligated to do this because, again, this looked very similar to the church I spent my life in, at least to this point. And we have Jim Lancia with us to help us shed light on this topic. Sean Bergen normally is with us for Terror Attack. Well, really, Sean and Jim normally tag team it in a situation like this. Sean is on vacation tonight. He's down in Florida, so I told Sean we'll just get with him next week. By then, there'll be at least one more terrorist attack somewhere, surely. And so Jim is up on deck right out of the gates tonight. Another story, again, really paints a pretty intense verbal picture. The carnage started even before the gunman entered the church, the story reads. It was a gorgeous day in Sutherland Springs, Texas, and worshipers at First Baptist were singing the praises of Christ. Suddenly, the joyous prayers were drowned out by screams of terror. Out of nowhere, shots started coming through the windows, said David Brown, whose mother was sitting in the back pew. Windows broke out. Shots were flying. The gunman started unloading 450 rounds of ammo from outside, targeting the congregation of about 50 people. Then came the killer as he stormed in through the front door of the small Texas church. Everyone was saying, "Be quiet. It's him. It's him." Not everyone could keep quiet. Young children in the church couldn't stop crying. So Kelly found the children and shot them point blank. Folks, that's incredible. That is so horrific. It's hard to even read that. America has turned from God, and that, more than anything, is why we have situations like this so frequently. America has turned from God, but thank God we still have guns. Yes, the killer used guns to carry out his act, but as I was saying before the last break, had we had an extra gun control law on the book, it wouldn't have stopped someone who is hell-bent on mass murder from getting a gun. I don't think an extra law is going to stop a guy like that. So David Duke really had two of the best tweets I've seen on this case, and I'll read them both to you. Thank God for courageous, armed American patriots who shot at and prevented the murderer before he could kill all the Christians. Another tweet reads, USA has always had guns, but not massacres of men, women, and children. What changed? We no longer have media and culture of Western Christians and values. And that's so true. I mean, I think about my dad telling me stories when he was growing up in the 50s and 60s. He would take guns to school for show and tell. Not a big deal. Nothing has changed. We've always had guns. In fact, we've had more guns and lesser restrictions on guns in our past than we've ever had, than certainly we do now. And that's not the reason that we have these shootings. Keith, you had a question for Jim.
Jim, Keith, how are you doing, sir?
All right, Keith, how are you? How are you?
Fine. I wanted to bring this out. Apparently, about 4 or more years ago, the shooter, Devin Patrick, had been court-martialed and convicted at the court-martial of domestic violence. This should have, one, been entered into the national database, and two, it should have prevented him from acquiring more guns, including the gun that was primarily used in this attack, which he acquired over this four-year period. But it appears that the Air Force dropped the ball and never reported this court-martial conviction to the National Gun Registry. And I've been reading some articles in various publications that suggests that today's new diverse Air Force may be the ultimate culprit as to why this information was not passed on. Were you aware of that? Do you not have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I do, Keith. First of all, under the current laws, he should not have been able to purchase a gun with that domestic violence on his record. That was an oversight by the Air Force. They didn't put it in the database. That's on them. He was also refused the gun permit. So that worked to keep him from getting, you know, a gun permit. But again, the problem isn't the guns. What people need to understand, and even the left already knows this, in Africa, where you have the poorest continent on earth, right, every child soldier has a gun in Africa. They got AK-47s. They're very cheap. They're given to them so that they can, you know, do their deeds with the warlords out there. If you got rid of all the guns, if we turned them all in, of course, which we're not going to do, there would be still many, many guns on the street. The criminals would still have them, and we would be living a whole different way in this country. But they already know that. Here's a thing, too, to understand. He was able to fire 450 rounds into that church, and the police still hadn't arrived. Now, I'm a former cop. I've stopped crimes in progress, lots of them, and I saved people's lives. But you cannot be everywhere all the time. And the way the left makes it sound is that the cops are going to be there. They're going to take care of all the gun violence, and they're going to make sure they're the professionals. It's not going to happen. This, now, I'm not putting the cops down. They can't get there that quick all the time. So 450 rounds. If it wasn't for the two armed citizens, then he could have just had a cup of coffee as he killed everybody in that church and still had time to get away. So,
that's great, Jim.
Well, Jim, let me say this. I just got back from a SEC football game today. And at that SEC football game, I noticed that the people that were showing people to their seats that were security guards all had handguns strapped to their waist. I think that the message is getting across to people that you need to have an armed presence there and you don't need to be waiting for the police to show up like the Lone Ranger. I think that probably most churches now ought to consider arming their ushers, having their ushers armed and possibly having a handgun at the very least the pulpit for the minister to use.
Like an airplane pilot has a gun in the cockpit. Now ministers are going to have a gun behind the pulpit, or you're going to have automatically locking doors when you go into church and metal detectors. What's the future, Jim? And before you answer, I want to remind everybody that Jim Lancey, along with Scoop Stanton, host Red 42, that now and for about the last month immediately follows the political cesspool. So after we're done, the fourth hour begins with Red 42. Stay tuned after every live broadcast of TPC to hear Jim and Scoop with Red 42 right after the show every week right here on the Liberty News Radio Network. Wanted to be sure to get that in. Red 42 with Jim and Scoop. Begins right after we end every Saturday night. But, Jim, yeah, so what's the future? Is that what we're going to see in churches? Guns in the pulpit, locking doors, metal detectors? Where are we going?
Armed ushers?
Well, I don't think I don't think we need metal detectors. I think that, and I don't even think it's just the pastors that need to carry. I don't think you should really designate one or two people, because those people could be taken out. Once you know who's going to carry, those people could be taken out first. So I think everybody who's able to carry should carry if they want to. So even the parishioners, if there's two or three parishioners carrying.
Right, I agree.
The bad guys just don't know who to target, and they'll run. And here's another thing we used to tell people. As far as like home invasions go, there would be a lot more of that if the invaders, the criminals, knew you wouldn't have a gun. What keeps them out of your house at night is the fact that you may be armed, and that scares them. They know you're not armed, they don't care if you have an alarm. They will find a way to get in there. It's the gun that keeps them out of your house at night. And the second reason is the fact that the cops, if called, will be there within 3 to 4 to 5 minutes. But they're afraid of the gun. That's why good people need guns, to keep the bad people in check.
You know, and there's another problem, too. You have all of this information going out about how necessary it is to put key locks and lock guards and gun safes in there. But you've got to have that gun where you can get to it quickly. For example, if somebody's coming up your stairway at the court, at your house, you've got to be able to access it quickly. Okay.
I was being slightly facetious. I agree with Jim. I go to a Southern Baptist church. I know a lot of people in the pews that carry, and I think everybody should be carrying. We'd have a lot more honest society. That's why we call them rape me nots and kill me nots. Jim, thank you, brother. We'll be waiting for you when we end to start Red 42. Everybody stay tuned for that. We'll be back right after this.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
When a beer commercial, everyone's happy and they're jumping around in there or whatever.
The thing is they not only have appealing activities, they have appealing people out there too. You know, you see beer commercials and it's done with natural water and it's cold brewed or heat pasteurized and all that kind of stuff. They make it sound more like a health food almost, but they never show the hangovers or alcoholism or anything like that.
And then in reality, you're happy and then you're vomiting in the bathroom, and then you're waking up sick the next morning with a really bad headache.
Any person that says that beer is merely for recreational use is stupid, because it's a form of alcohol.
They just want your money. It's the people that sell the product that are getting the most out of it, not the people that use it.
That's exactly what they're doing. They're all sell our beer, and it doesn't matter what it takes, just sell it.
No, they're not honest messages. They don't show the flip side of it, the results of alcohol.
A public service message from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
The word vigor is defined in the dictionary as health and strength in body and mind. Do you have enough health and strength in body and mind? Would you like to pursue life with passion? Would you like to know where you stand when it comes to your vigor score? That's right, there's a free scientific test you could take now that'll help you find out what your vigor score is. Then you can do things to improve that score. Did you know that? It's absolutely free, F-R-E-E free. All you got to do is get a hold of Kurt Crosby. You can do so, C-U-R-T, that's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. Or call Kurt at 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Would you like to learn about the scientifically proven vigor test? It's free. How would you like to improve your vigor score? Again, inexpensive solutions are available now. Call Kurt Crosby at 801-669-2211. Or Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor score test today.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, The Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Okay, Keith, we're about to shift gears. I wanted to start with that, not get it out of the way. It needed to be covered. And I think Jim did an excellent job. We're going to get now to what we would have covered otherwise, but you have about 30 seconds of commentary to wrap up Sutherland Springs before we start the show in earnest this evening. Go.
Okay, Sutherland Springs, what lessons are to be drawn from this? First of all, gun control is not the answer. When guns are outlawed, only outlaws will have guns, as has been shown throughout all the world, Africa, America, South America, Central America, Asia, you name it. Somehow the bad guys always seem to get their hands on the guns, and the people that obey the law controlling guns and don't have guns, are just all that much more vulnerable. You have a much safer and, quite frankly, more polite society when bad guys know that, one, homeowners are liable to have guns in their homes, and furthermore, that people in churches, people in their cars, and elsewhere might have guns. That is the best prophylactic to prevent violence by guns on part of bad guys. Furthermore, the fact that the Air Force, the new improved Air Force, which is typified by the head of the U.S. Air Force Academy that went into a conniption about racial slurs being written on whiteboards at the academy, preparatory academy for the U.S. Air Force Academy, which is basically for minority candidates that can't cut the mustard and get into the main Air Force Academy right off the bat. He went into a nutsoid of rant about racism, and then it turns out several months later that it was one of these black cadet wannabes that actually wrote it, and he did it because he was trying to deflect attention from himself and his poor grades. But did the Air Force Academy's head apologize to the white candidates that he slandered? No. He doubled down on his comments. Maybe this diverse Air Force is to blame for the fact that the Air Force did not pass this vital information about Devin Patrick Miller, the shooter in Sutherland, Texas, to the National Gun Registry so that he could have been prevented from buying the AR-15 that he used to do his deadly deeds with.
All right, so listen to this, ladies and gentlemen. I've got a graphic pulled up here in the studio on one of our side computers here. Listen to all the terrorist attacks. This isn't all of them by any stretch, but listen to all to as many as we could compile going back to 2015. I mean, we're talking about major attacks here. And it doesn't count the one we're talking about here. It doesn't count Antioch. Just listen. Terrorist attack in Paris, January 2015. Another one in Paris, November 2015. San Bernardino, remember that one? December 2015. Brussels, March 2016. Orlando, Nice, Würzburg, Munich, Ansbach, Reutlingen, and France again, all in the summer of 2016, all were mass casualties related to terrorism. Ohio, November 2016, Berlin, Christmas of 2016, Istanbul, earlier this year, London again, St. Petersburg, Stockholm, Paris again in April of 2017, then Manchester. That was the Ariana Grande concert bombing. London again in June of this year. That's not even counting the Black Lives Matter terrorism that we've had in Baton Rouge and Dallas, even here in Memphis, which it wasn't killing, but they shut down the interstate. I mean, that's not even counting all of that carnage
and riotous behavior. You know what was not at all mentioned in mainstream media reports of the Sutherland, Texas, Southern Baptist Church massacre? The fact that Devin Patrick Miller was affiliated with Antifa.
Well, that's been certainly rumored.
According to Jim Lancia, it's been now confirmed, but the silence is deafening from the mainstream media.
But
and everybody is white Southern Christians are to blame, but white radical atheists like Antifa are never.
Well, if he had gone to the website of the Council of Conservative Citizens, God knows, that would have been the sole source of the carnage. Well, and again, I have to go back to the fact that America has turned from God and the results are predictable. The sad thing is you can't even go to church now, especially a Southern Baptist church. You can maybe go to some small congregations, but not at a conventional denominational level. Go to a Southern Baptist church and get traditionalism or traditional morals or traditional Christianity. So,
in fact, the Southern Baptist denominational headquarters seems to have more in common with Antifa than they do with the people that occupy the pews.
That's
in
absolutely
most Southern Baptist
right.
Churches.
So there was a bulletin put out 2 weeks ago by Bellevue Baptist Church. That is the church pastored by the president of the Southern Baptist Convention.
And the largest Southern Baptist church in the world.
And on the cover of their bulletin, the title of the sermon is Legacy Leaders. And the sermon comes from Acts 20, verses 13 through 38. And who did they have to illustrate this sermon and this message? A picture of Martin Luther King on the cover of the bulletin, graced that bulletin. And so I ask, why are Southern Baptist churches now presenting non-Christians like Martin Luther King as supposed leaders of God's people? It is time for new leadership. And this is all in light of the new FBI revelations through the JFK files that were released just a few days ago. So Southern Baptist Convention denounces noble Christians like Robert E. Lee and honors degenerates like Martin Luther King. So let's get to this FBI report. In the new JFK release, the FBI report claims that Martin Luther King Jr. had all-night sex orgies at a workshop for church ministers and was the father of a secret love child and had affairs with women, including Joan Baez. This classified FBI report from March of 1968 contains these claims about King. Of course, this report was written before his assassination. The FBI was known to have much documentation about these the communist funding, the communist handling, but this
the
report
plagiarism.
Offers new details, the plagiarism, all of that. In February of 1968, the FBI claims that there was a training workshop in Miami that involved such a debauched conduct. Cited an attendee who says two prostitutes were paid $50 to perform a sex show. On and on and on and on. And this is the guy that graces the bulletin of the church pastored by the leader of the Southern Baptist Convention.
And he's hiding in plain sight, Martin Luther King, apparently. Steve Gaines and Russell Moore and other luminaries in the Southern Baptist hierarchy apparently ignore all of this evidence from the FBI, which otherwise they consider to be an unimpeachable source about everything, and they just blithely ignore it and treat Martin Luther King as if he is a plaster saint when he is one of the most debauched characters that you could ever imagine of being held up to the public as being just the opposite. Why is the Southern Baptist Convention's leaders being this willfully blind to hard evidence? Now it's come out again, and imagine what is hiding and lurking in the sealed FBI files, sealed by a federal judge from the mid-1980s for 50 years until the mid, I suppose, 2020s.
If they even get released then.
But
I'm surprised that this was able to leak
out. Of course,
it
doesn't matter, obviously, because the people that continue to try to hold Martin Luther King up as some type of role model for our youth and for our society will just continue to ignore this evidence and continue to pretend that Martin Luther King is someone worthy of emulation.
So that's where we're at. And how does this tie into the Sutherland Springs shooting? Well, I saw Steve Gaines down there, first of all. And Steve Gaines is, in my opinion, a disgrace to his faith, a disgrace to his race, a disgrace to manhood. When I know for a fact that he's aware of these allegations, I mean, how could you not be? But how could you still put him on your cover? And you say, well, King David was far from perfect and God used him. Yes, God can use flawed people. God can, but the thing about King David.
Didn't King David acknowledge his shortcomings and pray to God and say that, you know, I've sinned?
Yes, that unless Martin Luther King had a miraculous conversion to Christianity before he died.
Which is unreported if he did.
Before he died on that hotel balcony in Memphis, Tennessee, he is burning in hell right now. Now, how do I know that? What leads me to believe that, I should say? Forget all the stuff about him being a communist, a plagiarist, an adulterer, a degenerate. Forget all of that.
A communist operative.
Forget it all. Even if you could overlook all that and say God uses flawed people to advance his will, even if you can dismiss all of that, Martin Luther King, by his own words, in his own speeches, in his own writings, denied the virgin birth, he denied the resurrection, and he denied the divinity and deity of Christ. All of those are central precepts to the gospel Well, see, to Christianity. So forget he was a communist, a womanizer, a bisexual, a plagiarist, all of that. He was not a Christian. So why are the churches advancing non-Christians as the ones to emulate? And I say, well, how does this tie into Sutherland Springs? It ties in because we have turned from God. That's why you have this mass carnage on a weekly basis. But you can't even go to church and expect anything more than the MSNBC worldview from your leadership.
Yeah, God will not protect people. He will not be mocked, as the Bible says. Why in the world would a person that basically doesn't believe in any of the creed, the Apostles' Creed, which is basically the primer, it says these are the minimum beliefs that you must have to be an Orthodox Christian, a standard Christian. He defied every one of those at the seminary that he attended, and that's ignored by people like Steve Gaines.
We'll be right back. One more segment on this, and then we're going to switch gears in the second hour.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Ladies and gentlemen, what is the KQ? You know, the kosher question. Most Americans purchase their groceries while having no idea that almost every essential food product on the shelves is certified kosher by one of over 1,000 rabbinical agencies across the country. Indeed, the kosher question encompasses not only food and religion, but also affects our economics and politics. In an effort to promote awareness to this kosher question, developers have recently published an app for your smartphone that will not only educate users on this little-known phenomenon, but also features a database of food products that have not been kosher certified. The Kosher-tified app has prominent advertisement on TPC's homepage, or you can check out its website at kosher-tified.com. Wouldn't it be prudent to start eating in favor of your own interests? The Kosher-tified app will be your start. Download it now at kosher-tified.com. That's KOSCHERTIFIED.com.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
I'll tell you what an audience, folks. You don't always get to see what goes on behind the scenes during the commercial breaks. I guess you never get to see what goes
behind
on
behind closed doors.
That's really where the action happens. And I just received a call from two of our biggest supporters right here in the Memphis area, Todd and James. Anybody named James got to be a great man. And anyway, they just called to offer their support, and I'm so thankful for both of them. But they were both at our event last month in Memphis, and they're listening, and they're telling us we're doing a great job. And I can tell them that whatever kind of job we do, it wouldn't be done if it wasn't for them and so many more like them. So thank you for calling, Todd. We love you, brother. And now getting back to the show, if I can find my notes here. So talking about the Sutherland Springs church shooting earlier this week, how America's turn from God is really more than anything, or as much as anything, the reason for that. But now you can't even go to churches to find absolution and to find the answer, because they're basically just giving you the same...
Or the word of God.
They're giving you the Antifa message. And so here we have coming up. Now, the reason I brought up the Southern Baptist Convention support of Martin Luther King, well, really a couple of reasons. 2 weeks ago, you had his face gracing the bulletin of the church pastor by the head of the Southern Baptist Convention. That's one. But even after the JFK files or parts of the JFK files were released and this King stuff got caught in the net, even after that, the Russell Moore and other people associated with the Southern Baptist Convention just this week announced once again another round of promotion for this big event coming up in Memphis, April 3rd through the 4th. It's at the Memphis Convention Center. It's going to be a huge event, a huge conference. It's called MLK 50, and it's talking about the 50th anniversary of his death. And I'm sorry he was assassinated. I wish that hadn't happened, but that's what the thing is being held in honor of, the 50th anniversary of his death. And here's what it says. So this is being put on by the Southern Baptist Convention. This is a Southern Baptist Convention conference from start to finish, through and through. And here's what it says.
Sponsored and paid for by the Southern Baptist Convention.
By your tithe money, Southern Baptist. And about MLK 50, if you go to the website, here's what it reads. Racial unity is a gospel issue, and all the more urgent 50 years after Martin Luther King Jr.'s death. Join the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission. That's the arm of the Southern Baptist Convention. At a special event, MLK 50, Gospel Reflections from the Mountaintop, taking place April 3rd through the 4th, 2018, in Memphis, Tennessee. And it talks about the key speakers, and they include Russell Moore and Steve Gaines, of course. The 50th anniversary of King's tragic death marks an opportunity for Christians to reflect on the state of racial unity in the church and the culture. It creates the occasion to reflect on where Christians have been and look ahead to where we must go as we pursue racial unity. So what's the point? I mean, the point is America has turned from God. We've lost our way. But the solution isn't simply as merely returning Americans to church, because as I've said now twice on the show already this evening, now even the churches are presenting the gospel.
They're a hotbed of apostasy.
Of the establishment media and George Soros. That's their gospel, which is exactly what got us into our current situation.
If you're supposed to emulate Martin Luther King, what are you going to do? Have a church-sponsored orgy at your church?
Maybe they're going to have that at this convention.
Yeah, who knows what's going on. See, the thing is, you can't ignore the truth. As the Bible says, you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Well, falsehood will enslave you, and you're being enslaved to a false vision of Christianity if you buy into all of this Gospel of Peter, Paul, and Mary bunk that's being peddled by the likes of Russell Moore and Steve Gaines.
So here again we have it. The Southern Baptist Convention is going to be hosting this conference to honor a man like that. They passed resolutions condemning the Confederate flag, Christians who have the Confederate flag, Robert E. Lee, Nathan Bedford Forrest. And then they make plans to host a conference honoring the reprehensible, by any standard of measurement, Martin Luther King. That is beyond embarrassing.
Yeah, well, what's next? Are they going to try to lionize the Marquis de Sade? Who is it?
Well, he was white, so I don't guess that can happen. What more to say about that, Keith? I guess that's...
Well, it just shows you the sad state that we're in today. The true Christian faith does not exist in denominational headquarters anywhere. The cultural Marxist long march through the institutions has gone through every denomination's headquarters, and the real religion resides between the covers of a original King James Version Bible, maybe a few earlier versions of the Bible. Don't buy into this palaver that you're getting from the modern church. Everything that you're hearing from the modern church today, not everything, but most things bear a double take on your part. You need to test it against the unerring Word of God, and God will not be mocked. Can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit? Can a good tree bring forth corrupt fruit? Therefore, by their fruits you shall know them. When somebody is trying to force feed you a heaping helping of liberalism with a thin veneer of chocolate-coated Christianity around it. Don't imbibe the poison. Go back to the original unerring Word of God. And quite frankly, it's hard to find a church that hasn't succumbed to one degree or another with this modern trend. And if you need to find one, if you can't find one, I guess just like we had to go to homeschooling, we may have to go to home churching, James.
Well, you're absolutely right, Keith. And I'll tell you, another Southern Baptist that is not receiving any support from his church this week is Roy Moore. Now, if Martin Luther King can be deified, even if you believe everything they said about Roy Moore, which I don't at all, he should be embraced, certainly. But Roy Moore, look.
In fact, Roy Moore, if everything that you could say bad about Roy Moore were to be the truth, he would be a minor league version of Martin Luther King.
He wouldn't even register. But I'll tell you this. Look, I stand unequivocally with Roy Moore. I call absolute BS on the accusations and would advise Judge Moore to sue for defamation, assuming that Aesop's Fables, of course, haven't already issued an opinion on the matter. The media and the GOP and the church oppose Roy Moore because he checks all of the boxes that they hate. He's white, he's heterosexual, he's Southern, he's a Christian, and he's a male. But I'll tell you one more thing he's going to be. He will be a senator. And I would relish, if I lived in Alabama, I would absolutely relish casting a vote for Roy Moore in that special election in December. And stories like this one from Huffington Post, it would make me want to vote for him that much more. Listen to this, Keith, very quickly, and I'll give you a word on this. GOP strategists, and those are ubiquitous, these anonymous GOP strategists, says that Abraham Lincoln is rolling over in his grave over Roy Moore defenders. Well, number one, Lincoln's probably in hell, too. He was certainly a tyrant. He certainly ruined America. But Steve Schmidt says the Senate nominee is accused of molesting a little girl. GOP campaign strategist Steve Schmidt said he didn't have the words to express his shame over the Republican Party's failure to totally repudiate Senate nominee Roy Moore of Alabama in the wake of accusations of sexual misconduct. Accusations! I can sit here on this radio show tonight and cast frivolous accusations at anybody I can think of. I could say anybody out there is a child molester, a pedophile. It doesn't make it so. And Mitt Romney said, innocent until proven guilty only works in court. In politics, the accusation is enough. What?
Well, look, Mitt Romney and the rest of these cucks would do anything to keep an authentic conservative voice out of the Senate. Roy Moore just needs to tell them to go fly a kite. He's been elected by the people of Alabama to be the Republican nominee, and he will go on to the general election, which he will win. And they can put it in their pipe and smoke it, because this is the way, you know, the problem with the mainstream conservatives that are in charge of the Republican Party is they are no more conservative than the Marquis de Sade, as we used earlier as an example. And because of that, they see true conservatism and true traditionalists and true Christians as an anathema. We have people like Roy Moore that are willing to put themselves into the public square. And, of course, you can always tell I think it was Jonathan Swift that said, when a true genius appears in the world, you will know him by this sign. All the dunces are in a confederacy against him. Well, all the dunces in the Republican Party are in a confederacy against Roy Moore. And that is showing us the fact that people like Mitt Romney, Mitch McConnell, and other people like that are against him. That just shows you that you need to be for him, okay? And thank goodness we have people that will withstand the fire and do it. See, none of these things can be proven in a court of law. There's such a thing as a statute of limitations. 40 years and nothing is said, and then this happens. All of a sudden it crops up. If that doesn't...
None of these women, these accusers of this alleged misconduct, ever had a problem with it until a week before it becomes a United States senator. I always love how that happens.
Well, you know...
If it even happened at all.
And somebody is probably paying this woman to do this. Also, you need to understand that 50 years ago, there was a totally different milieu, and both culturally and legally, about coming of age up until probably the end of the 70s. In a state like Arkansas, for example, a female could be legally married at the age of 12.
The age of consent in the state of Alabama right now is 16, as it is in Mississippi. Actually, 31 states, the age of consent is 16, and I think three of these women were in their 20s, and one was just a little shy.
One was in the 30s.
I don't know of any 30-year-old men that like, you know, 18, 20-year-olds. That's completely... Yeah, I've never heard of anything like that. Anyway, we got to take a break. We'll be right back.
The political cesspool is in the can, but don't go away. There's more to come right here on the Liberty News Radio Network.